Guerrilla Radio, knowing who our real friends are since 1999.
We're running out of time to put out a fire. That our way of life was unsustainable. But we weren't listening then. Are we listening now? Wake up, scientists are certain. 10 years until annihilation. 10 years to bring this system down. Oy, 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 oy. This time we'll win. We run out of options, we gotta win. Oy, 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 oy.
Welcome back to Guerrilla Radio. Well, 3 years after the Canadian government decided to use wartime legislation to incarcerate citizens for protesting what they believed were unjust policies, a court in Ottawa has read the verdict in the Chris Barber and Tamara Leach case, and the prosecution is seeking 2 years incarceration for their roles in 2022's Truckers Freedom Convoy to Ottawa. The truckers, you may recall, were protesting COVID-era lockdowns and mandated vaccinations. Ray McGinnis is an author and retired educator who, concerned about the unprecedented invocation of the Emergencies Act in 2022, attended and began reporting on the Public Order Emergency Commission hearings, and was one of the only journalists in Canada to follow the subsequent Coutts for case, publishing numerous articles on its traducing of Canadian legal norms. Ray's book titles include Writing the Sacred, A Psalm-Inspired Path to Appreciating and Writing Sacred Poetry, Unanswered Questions, What the September 11th Families Asked and the 9/11 Commission Ignored, and the newly released Unjustified, The Freedom Convoy, The Emergencies Act, and the inquiry that got it wrong. Welcome back to the program, Ray.
Great to speak with you, Chris.
Well, it's my pleasure to have you on again, of course. Now, Ray, you're freshly off the Ontario leg of your continued book tour for Unjustified, and we're in Ottawa for the reading, as it happens, of the court's verdict in the Barber Leach case. Can you remind Canadians who Chris Barber and Tamara Leach are and explain why our government wants to see them imprisoned?
Okay, so Chris Barber is a truck driver from Saskatchewan, kind of in the Swift Current, Saskatchewan area. And he was one of the numbers of people maybe part of the first dozen or so various individuals who were thinking of going to Ottawa to have a protest, which they probably thought was going to last all of a weekend when they first headed out. And Tamara Leach is someone from the Medicine Hat area who was a good kind of organizer of a number of protests regarding energy policy, among other things. And she also was concerned about, they both were concerned about the whole COVID restrictions and the almost unique decision by the Canadian government to require truck drivers upon entering Canada to quarantine for 2 whole weeks. And if you did that, then you would be released and then you could go across the border of the states without that requirement. But then to return the following day with a second, trip in the month, you would then quarantine for another 14 days. And so you can't make a living going 2 days a week. And also, I want to point out that across the country, any Canadians arriving in airports that were required to quarantine for whatever reason by different government authorities were only required to quarantine for 5 days. So anyway, they were some of the key people who led the protests to question the vaccine mandates, question the lockdowns, and wanted to have a discussion with the government. And the government had, they responded by invoking the Emergencies Act, never met with any of the protesters, although City of Ottawa officials did meet with the protesters to arrange on the weekend of the 11th to 13th of February 2022 to begin to remove 75% of all the protest vehicles from the City of Ottawa and out of the residential area, which would have then had, after the 16th of February 2022, if that had materialized, would have had 25% of the protesters remaining to carry on their case with the government. And a city staff took photos of 102 license plates of vehicles that left the city. So, as far as city staff, Serge Arpin and Kim Ayotte were concerned, as they testified during the trial of Tamara Leach and Chris Barber, they were satisfied that the protesters kept their end of the bargain, in quotes, to begin in good faith to reduce the footprint of the protest. But then the Emergencies Act was declared, and then things followed as they did, freezing the bank accounts and so on.
And Tamara, she's written a book chronicling her experience, Hold the Line, My Story from the Heart of the Freedom Convoy. What's her story? How did she's not a trucker herself, right?
No, she's not a truck driver, but she was somebody who was very concerned about what she was aware of was happening. There were public statements by, I think, the Minister of Transport that people who were unvaccinated, as she was, would not be allowed to travel interprovincially. That was, in on the horizon at the time. And she had, family, grandchildren, and so on in nearby provinces. And she that was one of the things that made her, question. Given our Charter of Rights and Freedoms and on our own passport, it says that we have the freedom to enter and exit across the border, as well as, we have the right to mobility within the country. So she was questioning, what is really going on here, given it's all about a virus that, according to the World Health Organization and Johns Hopkins University, 99.8% of the population, when they got it, were getting over it, so, which is a smaller proportion than, say, the seasonal flu. So they just wanted to know, what's going on. So, yeah, so that was her.
And a lot of this story is still remains in the shadows, much as in your other book on 9/11, that some of the facts just don't seem to be forthcoming, and maybe we'll have to wait 20 years. Maybe we'll never really know what was going on behind the decision to crater the global economy, essentially, for a virus, as you describe, as a 99-point-something% survival rate.
That's correct. And so what we have then is that, the government had brought down their Emergencies Act, the police, crackdown on the protest. There's lots of, video footage of violently, dogpiling onto protesters, hitting people with batons, putting barrels of rifles in people's heads and so on, and smashing, truck windows and damaging vehicles. So that actually, ironically, if a truck's tires are flat and everything, you really can't leave the street that you're being asked to leave. In any event, the pair were singled out, I think, to make an example, because there could be an argument that quite a number of other people could have also been charged with mischief. Tamara Leach didn't even have a truck, and so
she played a role as being an intermediary and was very visible, right?
Yeah, she well. As the protest began, it was clear that, from before the arrival of the of the protesters in Ottawa, a few of them on the 28th of January 2022 and most on the day following, but that from about the 24th of January, the protesters who were leaving the West Coast and the East Coast of Canada were already being depicted as the worst of the worst: Nazis, white supremacists, racists, homophobic, misogynistic. I mean, and I want to point out that Tamara Litch is a woman, and she's also, you know, Métis, and that's accepted. You know, she's not the Buffy St. Marie of the Freedom Convoy. She, you know, she's legitimately accepted by her own band as being one of theirs. So it's sort of ironic how the media was portraying them. And so by about the second or third, there was finally a press conference on the 3rd of February, 2022, where Tamara Litch spoke about why the protesters were there, and you know, which was to, they wanted to meet with some senior government officials, not necessarily the prime minister, but many doctors and scientists and nurses and paramedics that were amongst the protesters, not just truck drivers and farmers, who wanted to have a panel discussion with Dr. Theresa Tam, head of public health, and others, and the health minister, to talk about, you know, like the whole government position was the science is settled, and they wanted to have a discussion because in the discipline of science, science is never settled, although, you know, people have said the science is settled to people like Galileo and Copernicus and others in the past, and then suddenly things changed as new information emerged. So they wanted to have, you know, she became the public face, most visible face on the news. And so as a result of that, I think the Crown made a decision to identify her as a person to accuse of mischief. Plus, they also are accused, both Chris Barber and Tamara Litch, of additional charges of intimidation, counseling to commit intimidation, obstructing police, counseling to obstruct police, all of which they were found not guilty. So,
Well, yeah, let's talk about the court case now. And as to the demonization in the press, I spoke with Dimitri Lascaris, who was in Ottawa, went down there and spent 24 hours at the protest when it was, you know, at a standstill there in Ottawa. And we did an interview on that. It's at the site. And he said it was absolutely 180 degrees diametrically opposed to everything he'd heard in the press, the people that he met and their attitudes and the whole atmosphere of the protest. Everything was entirely opposite to how it had been portrayed in the Canadian press to everybody else in the country who was looking at it. And as you described, that's what they were hearing, you know, this description of the people taking part. So Ray, you were in Ottawa. Were you in the actual courtroom when the verdicts or were read?
Yes, as it happens, I had a little window of a break between book talks, and I thought, oh, I wonder what I'm going to do. And then the judge moved the verdict date from the 12th of March to the 3rd of April, and I thought, well, I guess I'll be sitting in the courtroom, the very warm, hot courtroom with a microphone that was rather down low, so you had to really strain to hear every word that was being said. But yes, I was there to hear the 5-hour verdict read, and I want to highlight that these two, Leach and Barber, were found guilty of mischief. No one was in the Ottawa protest was charged with, you know, criminal violence. Although there were headline stories about bomb threats at the Children's Hospital, which was found to be untrue, or that all the protesters in Ottawa had weapons with them, grenades, bombs, and guns, and so on. That was also conceded in a public safety House of Commons meeting with interim police chief inspector Steve Bell of the city of Ottawa. No, there were no guns. And so there was nobody being charged with violence. They're being charged with mischief. And even though, you have police liaison team, Sergeant Sear testifying that she understood that there was, no violence, that there was a code of conduct that all of the protesters had to sign before they went into Ottawa, agreeing to be nonviolent and peaceful. And there was, of course, the problem of, there's lots of trucks parked on city streets, public property. And Sergeant Sear says that on a number of occasions, she'd asked a senior person, Inspector Russell Lucas, if I could move trucks onto a different street, Wellington Street, the commercial streets away from residential streets. And she said on multiple occasions, she was denied that. So I think your listeners will be interested to know that as the truck drivers came onto every single street in Ottawa, they were waved forward with a hand, come forward by the police officer and pointing, you park here, you park here, you park here. So Chris Barber, who had a truck, parked on Wellington Street in the place on the street that he was directed by the local officer of the city of Ottawa. And so there was honking of horns, it's true, but by the 3rd of February, it was clear that the honking was restricted to, daytime, like maybe 8 or 9 a.m. until 6 p.m. and then going quiet. And then on the 7th of February, there was an injunction by Provincial Court Judge McLean, and all people agreed that that the honking, virtually stopped. There was sporadic, a number of 8 Ottawa residents testified at this trial. None of them had any direct interactions with either of the co-accused. And Mr. Jorgensen testified that when he left from the 31st of January and came back on the 9th of February, when he came back, it was very livable, as the protest proceeded, it was not difficult. More vehicles would have been moved out of the residential area, but for Ottawa City Police higher-ups not allowing the police officers on the ground to give the go-ahead to move those trucks. And this was testified by the city senior city staff that were trying to, that were negotiating the movement.
Essentially, the protest was mired as well in a bureaucratic chasm where officials couldn't decide what had to happen next. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Guerrilla Radio. I'm speaking today with Ray McGinnis. Ray is an author and a retired educator. He was concerned about the invocation of the Emergencies Act in 2022, and he began following it up and attending the Public Order Emergency Commission hearings on it. One of the only Canadian journalists to do so. He's followed the Coutts 4 case as well, publishing numerous articles on it. Ray's book titles include Writing the Sacred, A Psalm-Inspired Path to Appreciating and Writing Sacred Poetry, Unanswered Questions, What the September 11th Families Asked and the 9/11 Commission Ignored, something I want to touch on before we leave, Ray, and Unjustified, what we're talking about today, his book, The Freedom Convoy, The Emergencies Act, and The Inquiry That Got It Wrong. So now, Ray, the court, they found against Barber and Leach, and the prosecution is asking, although it hasn't been settled as yet, for 2 years for each of them, right?
That's correct. So that they've found them guilty, both guilty, on the charge of mischief. And here's the thing about the charge of mischief. In her verdict, the justice said that the court accepted that, quote, the evidence supports that there was more than one group in the convoy movement, that Mr. Barber and Ms. Leach were not able to influence or control all the truckers. But Miss Leitz and Miss Barber were not merely engaging in political speech, rather they were inciting the Freedom Convoy protesters by saying things like hold the line and encouraging people to attend the protest, which the provincial court ruled twice on the 7th and the 16th of February of 2022, that the protesters had a right, the constitutional right, to peacefully assemble and protest. But nonetheless, the ruling is that they were not merely engaging in political speech. They were inciting freedom protesters to continue their ongoing blockade of downtown Ottawa, inciting criminal mischief to put pressure on the government to drop COVID restrictions. And the emphasis that the defense argued that freedom of expression must take precedence every time over the enjoyment of property. And the enjoyment of property in the question of this trial is not about the enjoyment of private property. It's the enjoyment of public property. And so still the court says, well, you can't be protesting like this. It raises all kinds of questions about, well, what do you do then if you have a homeless encampment or drug users, you know, in a park all the time for months and years on end? That's also enjoyment of property. But in any event, that's what the ruling weighs in on, and it really means then that she's saying charter rights are not absolute, and that it really raises the question of where. When people are asked, are told in our charter rights, you have the freedom to assemble peacefully. And again, not a window was smashed. Nobody was punched in the face or socked in the shins during the whole protest. Patrick Morris, the chief of the Ontario Provincial Police Intelligence, said he was, quote, shocked by the lack of criminality. and so... You know, the RCMP were describing on the morning of February 14th, 2022, when the Emergencies Act was declared, that it was a family-friendly, peaceful protest, quote, not a threat to a passerby. So in all of this, then, it ends up being the lawful, you know, the protest interfered with the lawful use of public property. So going forward, what are Canadians to make about where they can peacefully protest in a public space? I mean, I don't know. I think it really will be, you know, put your finger up in the air, decide which way the political winds are blowing. If you think the government in your province or federally smiles on your reason for protesting, you can go ahead and protest. But if you think that they will be worried or objecting to your questioning a certain public policy, you may as well stay home.
Well, it's all that is not permitted isn't allowed. And the Mark Carney, the prime minister, the acting prime minister, is proposing bubble zones of constitution-free bubble zones, so where you cannot protest. This is something being lobbied by Friends of Israel right now, so that there you have to find a place between the bubbles to make your statements. But then, according to this, that won't even work either. So. When will we find out what is the fate of Barber and Leitch? Do you know?
So as you said, the Crown is seeking 2 years for the charge of mischief. Mischief normally runs, a trial normally goes like 3 hours and then it's done. This one went, 46 days with the verdict, and there will be 4 to 5 days set probably end of May or into June, where they will finally determine what the sentence will be. So that's where it's going to land. And they also, the Crown wants to, I guess, impound, auction off, seize and auction off Chris Barber's truck. You know, which will mean his livelihood, you know, is, you know, plus these two are part of on the receiving end of a class action lawsuit by one of the Ottawa City residents, a government employee named Zexy Lee, a young woman who is seeking, along with others, $300 million in damages for the for the inconvenience. And I wanted, and Statistics Canada said that, well, what kind of inconvenience was happening in 2020 alone, as a result of the government measures, 120,000 small businesses went bankrupt, and as many did in 2021, and maybe not quite so many, but half as much again in 2022. So all of those small businesses were greatly, inconvenienced by going bankrupt. But there's no kind of discussion. It's like there was the justice referred a number of times to the quote noble cause, a noble cause that Leach and Barber were involved in, but never talked about the costs to Canadians who were raising questions about what was going on.
Well, or what will happen the next time that these precedents have now been in place. Ray, we're fast out of time. The book, how is the book Unjustified, the Freedom Convoy, the Emergencies Act, and the Inquiry that Got It Wrong? How's the book doing?
I think it's going well. I mean, it goes up and down on Amazon, but in a couple of the categories of history of Canada and Canadian history, it's been up to number four in those categories. So it's been very well received, and so I keep chronicling as I do more that unfolds in this continuing story.
Well, thanks, Ray, for sharing some of that story with us today. I want to also thank Andy Worthington and remind everybody to go to Andy's site, andyworthington.co.uk. Ray, how do people find you?
I have unanswered questions.ca, which focuses on my previous book, but I also have articles, and we'll put this interview up on that site as well. And my new book, there's a page for Unjustified. And I'm also on I still call it Twitter, on X. Yeah. And I have, it's Ray, RayMcginnis, and then the digit 7, if you want to find me on X.
Yeah, so unanswered questions.ca on Twitter as well. Thanks again, Ray. That's all I got for this week. Until the next time. Put out a fire, fire. bad and ugly news on Guerrilla Radio at guerrilla-radio.com. That's Guerrilla Radio, a century of news every week.